You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon, the seventh day of February 2014. On the phone line from Atchison, Kansas, at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting is Mike Zuzlo. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is it cold there today?
You know, it was 1 degree this morning, and I felt like it was a heat wave.
It's been cold. It's been really cold. Are you due like we are for more severe cold next week?
No, you know, I think there's one more little shot coming, but one of the things that came in on the noontime models was a little bit more moderation in the temperatures, Todd, and I think that's going to start in our area and then move and migrate over towards you by the time we get maybe day six, day seven, and that's probably something that the trade picked up on today. We had a January thaw last month. The weather people I work with would suggest, it'll be interesting to hear what Ed has to say, would suggest that maybe we won't have much more than a February thaw, and then we'll be back at it by the end of the month with another cold wave. So, unfortunately, it looks like this is just kind of a moderation and a little bit of a thaw like we had a month ago.
In the form of the trade picked up on that weather pattern today, what does that mean to you? What happened that you saw it in the marketplace?
Well, you know, we took a big, big spill late in the session or right after the midday weather models came out, and it looked a little bit warmer. And I wonder if that and the Canadian issue with the oat market and the Canadian logistics issues that had been pricing the market up, you know, substantially and lock limit up in the case of oats earlier this week, that started to wane as well. So I'm wondering whether the Canadian Canadian-related profit-taking came in at about the same time these midday weather models came in that suggested a little bit better weather in terms of less freeze damage, less cold damage, given that, you know, probably the western half of Kansas and most of the wheat area for Nebraska and Oklahoma aren't really getting much snow, so their snowpack and snow cover just isn't that much.
Yeah, can you take me through that oat thing just a bit? Because the March oats, while they did not settle above the March corn for today,
right?
They were above March corn earlier in the week.
Yeah, the simplest way to look at it from my standpoint was that the logistical issues in Canada, part of this relating to too many coal tankers being used with too few locomotives, and so there are therefore fewer grain cars available to the market up in Canada, caused these logistical issues. Weather played some role, and so I think what happened was the Japanese came in and started booking U.S. wheat instead of Canadian wheat. At least that's what the news wires were reporting. And also there was talk that the oat market was getting a strong export bid along with Milo, and all of this relating back to the lack of availability in Canada. So it was weather and train car related, so it was kind of transitory. And so by the end of the week, it seemed as though things were starting to free up some. It'll be a player again next week if those expectations aren't met and the grain isn't flowing better.
I know this is a small thing. Was it a weather, and you said train car, or was it a weather and a locomotive availability?
Yeah, without a doubt. The locomotives are being used up with more crude oil cars versus grain cars.
And thus the train cars weren't available because the locomotives couldn't pull them, but the cars themselves were probably available. It was about the logistics for locomotives and lack of locomotives to move cars, right?
Yeah, and it's very similar to what you're facing with the propane market over in your area, what you're facing with the salt, road salt problem over in your area. All these things kind of tie back to the just-in-time type modeling that we see in the transportation and raw commodity industry. And if things are going well, that JIT situation works great and it saves a lot of money. But if the weather doesn't play ball with you, it becomes quite expensive. And I think that's something that the Chicago trade in the commodity markets are starting to wake up to, and especially given what we're seeing in the Midwest and how long this cold has lasted and the fact that Peoria shut down in terms of being able to get salt up the river, and that's starting to cause some really big price spikes in salt and, like I said, in propane. These are big issues in the commodity markets this year that usually we don't have to deal with, and the reason we have to deal with it is because the commodity markets are in a just-in-time type mindset. They're a lot like the automotive manufacturers that started this 20 years ago. It seems as though the grain and raw material commodities markets are doing this more now as well.
Yeah, except that our infrastructure is not as reliable, I guess.
Yeah, and it says that, you can take risk premium out of the market as long as you've got everything running great. But as soon as something goes wrong, then that risk premium probably needs to get put back in. And that's exactly what's happening in the cash market. Unfortunately, it's price spikes, and it's really doing some damage to some people.
Yeah, so how quickly does it come out? So because it's infrastructure related or the ability to move product around, and that does get fixed at some point and probably gets fixed pretty quickly.
Yeah, I had this conversation in kind of a more agriculture-related area with the 28 pricing. You know, 28 starting to go up pretty substantially because of natural gas, because of propane. That may not work prices back down until the springtime, so it may, in some cases, take another 2 to 3 months before you unwind the cash market. In the case of Canada, they're thinking that's going to ease up by next week. I think this goes back to 28 prices. My take on them is that, yeah, you probably need to get something locked in from a standpoint of what you plant and what you put on right at planting. But if there are delayed plantings because Mother Nature keeps things wet and all of a sudden certain sections of the Corn Belt don't get planted on time, some of that 28 may not be needed as much, or some of the anhydrous may not be needed as much. So maybe don't book everything yet, maybe just a good chunk, and then see if there's going to be planting delays or not.
Hey, on the wheat, you mentioned that while they backed off prices today because of maybe some better weather conditions, I guess, that they still finished the week, the March and the July, both up around more than 20 cents. Is this a pricing opportunity at all?
Not for selling, I don't think, Todd. I mean, this is where the flat price, like you said, the beans won the day for the week on the flat pricing, with the March beans up 49 and like you said, March wheat up 22. But on a percentage basis, wheat actually beat beans this week up 3.9%. I think those crop conditions in Kansas and Oklahoma, and the fact that we tripled the very poor conditions in Kansas and quadrupled the very poor conditions in Oklahoma, would suggest that inadequate moisture and the lack of wheat feeding that the cattle guys have been telling us about and that the cattle on feed report have been verifying to us would suggest that we're a long way from making an average crop, meaning 45 bushels. And I think this is where this could be more like a 2011 crop, where you're in the low 40s. And if your hard red wheat acres do get torn up some because of this weather and you see some abandonment, then you're talking about a lot tighter crop. So I still think we're 50, maybe even 80 cents away from needing to price any new crop wheat.
And we are on the bottom end of the range and down at contract lows, I suppose.
Yes, and I think this is where the outside markets are starting to come together a little bit better, and that's been something that's plagued the wheat market as well. And, you know, something like Yum Brands, they came out this week with some updated information. First, they said the avian flu had not hurt their consumption at KFC in China and places like that, which is good news. But that stock jumped 9% this week and had one of its best performances I've seen in probably 7 or 8 months.
You mentioned the soybeans. Speaking of life of contracts, the bean meal set a life of contract high this week. They were up $20.30 at $4.46.40 in the lead option.
It's been a long time since I've seen a newswire like Reuters report that Claypool, Indiana, had no soy meal to offer for February and that they had pulled bids on Thursday due to tight supplies. And when you look at the supply-demand report on Monday, realize that we were coming into this month's report with only 16.5 days worth of bean demand or bean supply to meet usage. And if we cut these ending stocks anymore, we'll be down around 14 days or 15 days. Historically, the market really takes note when you get into those low numbers.
All right. Hey, thanks much. We'll talk to you again for Commodity Week not too long from right now.
Sounds great, sir.
That's Mike Zuzulow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas.